Sub World, welcome to the Positive Truth, uplifting, positive news for a more progressive society. Tim, what are we trying to bring?
Here at the Positive Truth, we're trying to bring awareness, empowerment, inspiration, optimism, and understanding to communities everywhere.
Amazing interview. You want to start off by telling us who you are and who you're representing?
Sure. My name is Dot Ryan, and I am representing Fields and Futures, a local nonprofit here in Oklahoma City. Coach McCoy, the U.S. Grant, and we just really appreciate the opportunity to be here and tell a little bit about the story, the mission.
Well, can you tell us about Fields and Futures?
Yes. This is a big story.
Big story.
Okay.
Great. Listen.
Okay. So, in 2012, actually it's 2011, Liz and Tim McLaughlin, local residents, grew up here in Oklahoma City. We're on a tour being facilitated by the West Walker Foundation, who, as you know, makes large equipment grants to inner city schools. And the McLaughlins were donors and still are supporters of the Walker Foundation. So they were touring around the district to see where those equipment grants were going and just to understand the need and what they were supporting. And it just ended up a life-changing day.
Really?
So as they were touring the district, they landed at Jefferson Middle School, where I believe you went to school, and they were talking about just sports and athletics and how the equipment grant was being utilized. And that was the year that Keith Siner, the new district athletic director, had signed on for his job. So they met Keith, and somebody mentioned a field, and Tim said, where? And they basically said, you're standing on it. And I'll just speak for him for a minute, because I think this is how he would tell this part of the story. He just said the range of emotion was so swift and just like crazy. He said, that's not a field. And he finally said, it's their field. And Tim said it was confusion. Like, how's that possible? Frustration. How's that possible?
Right.
A little bit of anger. How's that possible? Sad. How's that possible? And just in that tidal wave of feeling, it was like, okay, this isn't right.
This is like the five stages of grief. Instead of acceptance, it's like, we're going to change this.
Yes. And you know what he tells donors and people all the time is, what kind of message is that sending these children?
Absolutely.
So he and Liz are huge believers in sports as a motivator to get kids to school, focused on the things they need to be focused on. They have four children, all stellar athletes, multi-sport athletes. They've grown up playing, you know, in the best facilities, all kinds of sports, meeting all kinds of people, and they just know. So why would a kid play a sport if that's where they have to play?
Right.
So he did the quick due diligence to understand the national average for student participation in sport at a public high school is around 55%. Crunched some quick numbers with Keith. Oklahoma City Public Schools, it's way under 30%.
Really?
That's a big gap. It's a huge gap. So then you look at the size of Oklahoma City Public Schools, the largest district in the state, 46,000 kids. And you think, okay, if this many are playing sports now, it really should be this many. Gosh, that's several thousand students a year that could, would, should be on a team if they just felt inspired to do that.
So I just did the quick math. So they should be averaging like 26,000 kids playing sports, 24 or something like that.
Well, just high school.
Just high school.
Yeah. So I think there are, I'm going to pick a round number, 16,000 students in middle school and high school. Interscholastic sport under the purview of Keith.
So they should have like 85.
Yes.
And so they have like 45.
Exactly. Good job.
The engineer over there.
Good job. So it's like, wow, that's that many more kids that would come to school, miss fewer days, avoid disciplinary issues, under the supervision of a coach who can put a little bit of structure around their life. Coaches are that last bastion of authority in public school. Their hands are tied in the classroom, it seems, sadly. But you're out on a field, a pitch, a track, and they can say, sit down.
Absolutely.
You don't get to play today. or hey, pull up a chair, brought you a table, do your homework. I want to see you lift your head until you're done. So coaches can still do that. So there's just this driving belief that if a kid, a boy or girl, will find a team, they'll find the classroom. So the general belief was if we can get them on a team, if we can get them involved in sports, inspire them to do that, motivate them to do that, it's eventually going to impact graduation. So what we've learned over the 6 years now of doing this is to some people it looks like Fields and Futures builds athletic fields, but what we're really doing is getting more kids across the graduation stage. So it took a couple of years for the district to equip us with the data that we needed, but when we finally started seeing the numbers, it justified everything we thought that we've been telling people, thank goodness.
Why didn't the school district want to give you the data?
Well, it's not that they didn't want to.
Oh, okay.
They're incredible partners in this mission, okay. So I'll just be really upfront about that. It was figuring out what we needed and how to go find it and how to define student athletes and the way they keep their records. And it's a long story. I really can't explain it far. But what we finally got back was for two consecutive years of information, 99% of student athletes, seniors, graduated. Versus 77% of non-athletes the first year we had the data, and 81% of seniors that were not student athletes the second year. So then you talk to David Prater, our district attorney, and he told Tim, hey, here's 99% of student athletes graduating versus 81% of non-student athletes the way they were classified for this study. He said, Tim, of that 19% that's not graduating, 70% are sadly likely to end up in our criminal justice system.
Unfortunately,
that's taxpayer
money.
taxpayer money, more jails, more prosecuting attorneys. But put that aside, it's just more kids running out of runway. So he loves Fields and Futures because it's more of a preventive measure than a reform measure. Reform is expensive. So Fields and Futures and everybody that works with us, it's a small army of partners and people that are really linking arms to make it all happen, are excited to try to get out on the front end of it. So now we know. We have 6 years of just student stories. Jeremy Allen.
Oh, I don't know the story.
Oh my gosh. Okay, try to make it quick. Jeremy was at Jefferson Middle School.
Shout out to Jefferson.
And Officer Esau was the coach, so the school resource officer was the football coach. Jeremy in the seventh grade, and honestly, I have a hard time wrapping my head around this. I don't really know how it's possible. But it's stated a lot of different places, so it must be true. He was suspended 28 times and missed, somebody said 100 days of school. I mean, it was insane. So he was just in perpetual trouble. But his coaches, Lozano and Esau, never gave up on that kid. I think there was a lot of tough love in there somewhere. There's just a lot of encouraging, but what I see from the outside looking in is they just never gave up on him. So somewhere late in the seventh grade, he had an incident at school. He threw a desk at a kid because a kid had pushed a desk at him. He said he knew in that nanosecond that he was done. So he just walked to the office, and there's Officer Coach Esau. And he called him in, and I'm paraphrasing a conversation I wasn't in, but heard it a few times, and he just said, son, here's what you need to understand. Out there, a three-day suspension is 3 years in county jail. You get, like, kicked out of school. Now you're, like, in a state prison level, and the sentence, the statement was, adults don't get suspension. And Jeremy, just something happened, something triggered, and he knew in that moment in time, he didn't want to be that kid anymore. So he just made this conscious decision. And the day he told me this, of course it made me cry when he told me, But he just said, I want to be a kid my parents can be proud of. His parents, he has an amazing family unit, but he said, and I've met his parents and talked to his mom a bunch of times, and they just had a bad year. He lost his grandmother. He admits he had anger issues. He didn't know how to deal with things. And every time he got suspended, he couldn't play. So he said he had no release for his anger. So when he came back for eighth grade, he had his head screwed on straight. He had made a decision that he wanted to be a different kid. And there are the new athletic fields. And he just said that affected him emotionally to know that there were people out there caring that much to give them that. And now he's just a shining example of what's possible when a child makes a decision.
This is a sophomore this year. Mm-hmm. So middle school is 2 years for him. He's a leader at Grant, a leader. And off the field, on the field, he's a football player, plays baseball as well.
Had a 4.2 GPA the last time he showed me his report card.
It's amazing what happens when someone believes in you.
Absolutely.
That's it. That's the whole point. So the story arc for Fields and Futures, we say all the time, the field's just the excuse. But you have to start somewhere. So you have to start by providing the basic resources that these kids deserve. And as cliche as this is going to sound, to level the playing field. So.
It's okay, we like puns here.
Okay. But, you know, the idea is about opportunity. So are we building fields or are we building opportunities? And we really believe we're building opportunities. And it's not we. It's this whole universe now that is making this all happen.
How many fields have you done?
We are just now completing Southeast High School, and that will make field number 22.
Whoa. Okay, so when you do the field, so I went to Southeast.
Okay.
We didn't really have a field. So it's like there's a dirt track. It was kind of like one or two football fields.
Oh,
like,
man, you got to go out there.
And there was nothing out there when I was there.
Yeah. So, like,
is there like a track and everything now?
So we are building the baseball and softball field.
Yeah, there wasn't any of that really when I was there.
We have a picture, a before picture of the softball field because it would hold water when it rained.
Yeah.
And somebody told us one day they call that Lake Spartan.
Lake Spartan, I love it.
Lake Spartan. So there are a couple of really exciting things about this complex. This is our first complex in partnership with the Cal Ripken Senior Foundation. And they use a synthetic turf model. So Southeast High School is going to be the first school in the Oklahoma City Public School District to have synthetic turf fields on their campus. So it is stunningly
beautiful. How many people, do you know how many people were playing baseball or softball before this? Because when I was there, I think we had like 15 people on each team.
JP, I want to coach softball at Southeast now.
Do you even know anything about softball?
I don't. The fields are
you
amazing.
You can learn. You can learn.
It's definitely going to attract kids to go out there and play. For sure. Especially if you don't have anything to do, why wouldn't you want to go play out there in that field? Oh my. Mm-hmm. When I say it's beautiful, it's beautiful. It's very beautiful.
And I love the fact that, well, this could be happening at any school, and I would make this same statement. I'm just so happy that Oklahoma City Public School students are receiving this gift. So the thing in all of this that we very quickly realized is all children deserve the same opportunity.
Mm.
And it just doesn't matter where they live or who they live with or how much money somebody makes or doesn't make. They should get a quality education and have a quality experience. So what happens at every complex where we go and complete a set of fields, it's hard to describe this because it's so intangible, but it feels so real. They literally just walk taller. They smile bigger. They, at every school, inevitably, at least one coach will tell us, yeah, I had a kid ask me today, why are they doing this? It's like they're scratching their head going, who are these people and why would they come do this for us? And we have a young student from Roosevelt Middle School quoted in one of our videos saying, We're the school nobody wants. Why would they do this? So, of course, we cry every time we hear her say that.
Where can I find this video at? Where can everyone listen?
Yes, thank you. Okay, YouTube, Fields and Futures. So we have a channel that just is full of videos, and we've been really blessed. We've been able to do some amazing storytelling through video. Lampstand, I'll give them a shout out here in Oklahoma City. Derek Watson and his team are beautiful storytellers, and we've had people underwrite that content development for us, so that's been a real blessing. So there are lots of really awesome story videos.
How many
there.
People all together do you think are involved in Fields and Futures?
Oh, word. Well, Fields and Futures is a small organization. And then you've got donors, sponsors, partner organizations, the entire school system, other nonprofits, and that's kind of in that partner category. You know, there are probably a couple hundred really contributing to the finances of it, but there are a lot of people pushing the machine, making it happen.
How did you get involved?
I have a background in advertising, sponsorship, promotion, marketing. So my last corporate job was at Griffin Communications, Jones News 9. And I left Griffin in 2011 and jumped out on my own and created a sales and marketing consulting practice. And in 2013, Fields and Futures was starting its second field project. And David Griffin from Griffin Communications is friends with McLaughlin's. So he called me and said, I'd like to introduce you to them. And we have this unique opportunity to offer outfield signage and naming rights and things that bring very real, measurable marketing value to people who want to come support us through that lens. So since my background is marketing sponsorship, I came into Fields and Futures with a development hat on, thinking I could go fundraise through marketing sponsor dollars. And the job is just from there. So that's still my core competency. So I'm in development, but we do it through events, knocking on doors, the things I just talked about. We do some very traditional nonprofit fundraising, but we just have a lot of really unique assets and things we can offer people in return. So we're kind of at this awesome point now. I'll just put this out there. And first of all, I just love the whole vibe of what you guys are doing. I mean, this whole idea of putting this concept of putting, I'm such a believer that what you put out, you get back.
Absolutely.
I mean, my life is a testament to that, so I totally believe it. So I love that. We had a luncheon this past summer and had the incredible good fortune of announcing at that luncheon that we had a new donor step into our world, Group 1001, a company out of Indianapolis, of all places. That CEO is a gentleman named Dan Towers. That's a long story. That'll be a different podcast. Because it's an amazing story. And he put a $1.5 million match commitment on the table.
Wow. Match commitment?
So $500,000 a year for 3 years. So every dollar we raise unlocks a dollar.
Wow.
So his 1.5 technically is three. So that's been really exciting. So that kind of took things to a different level. So at that luncheon, we had, we'll call it 70 stakeholders in a room, people who really care about Oklahoma City and the school system and Fields and Futures and really the mission of what we are, not so much us, but the mission. And we said, one, we're at halftime, so we themed our presentation Fourth and Now, like, let's just go finish. You know, the unique thing about Fields and Futures is we have an end game. So we're a nonprofit. We look a lot like a construction company. But once we finish, we finish, and then we maintain everything we build. So there will be a perpetual field maintenance endowment that funds that field maintenance forever, which is a really compelling part of the story. But here's my point. We told this room that this is not a Fields and Futures story anymore. It's an Oklahoma City story.
Absolutely.
So we proofed it up, and we being the private donors that funded this work. We know it works. look at the impact stories. They're about kids, they're about campuses, they're about grades, they're about graduation. I mean, the impact is there and it's very real. These aren't our kids. These are our kids.
Say it again.
Yeah, these aren't our kids.
This is impressive right now.
These are our kids. These are Oklahoma City children. They're Absolutely. Your future employees. They're your future neighbors. They're your future realtors. They're your future
engineers,
coaches. Yes, they're whatever they teachers. Want to be. But we have to empower and equip them with the confidence and the belief and the literal tools that they need to complete that education and believe they can be whatever they choose to be. So,
equality and empowerment.
Yes, justice. I mean, it's about making sure all these kids feel that love. And we have seen time and again, and oh my God, in your world especially, I don't know that I could handle being in your shoes because I probably just walk around crying all the time. But I mean, these issues are real. And for every kid that has a solid home life, there are ever this many that don't. So, you know, I'm the emotional storyteller in our camp because I just love what this is all about. But I tell people all the time, imagine being that child that feels invisible to the world. They live in the cracks. They don't have anybody watching their back. They don't have anybody steering them to better decisions. They are either going through motions or whatever you want to call it. Well, all of a sudden, here's a coach that says, come on, I saw you. Give it a shot. Come see me. You'll like these guys. They'll like you. Come on out. Whatever it is you say to people.
It's pretty close.
Okay.
That's pretty
okay.
close.
We just want to be invited to the party. We're no different. I told a friend of mine not too long ago, it's one thing for somebody to say, hey, come by my house. I'm having some people over. Yeah, I'm probably not going to do that. But if you say, hey, if you come to my house at 6:30 and you can bring this and here's who's going to be there, we'd really love for you to come, I'm more inclined to go.
Exactly.
People like specific invitation. So when a coach reaches out to a kid or another athlete reaches out to a kid and gives them a personal invitation, they might try it, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So now they have what becomes the family. They have the unit. They've got the huddle. So that's what we're trying to give these kids.
Oh, you're giving it.
Okay.
Absolutely kidding.
I'll stop.
No, you weren't.
So I'll tell you another story I love, and it's another video you can find on. There are two places you can find the videos. Like the Roosevelt story I mentioned, there's a Star Spencer story. We have a lot of those on our YouTube channel, but then we have a collection that we're building of 2-minute impact stories on a website called powersports.tv. And the donor that I mentioned who stepped in with the large match grant also put some funding into creating a content platform that would advocate for, and I'll just tell you his statement because it was really beautiful. As we were getting to know this gentleman about a year and a half ago, he heard the Fields and Future story. He was in town, he met Tim. So when we were on the phone with him a few months later, I asked him, what about the Fields and Future story resonated with you to get us to the phone call today? Because the phone call is a good indicator that he wanted to do something to help us. And he said, yeah, I'll tell you. He said, when I met Tim and heard him say that gangs were recruiting at a 6th grade level in Oklahoma City, that just shocked me. He said, I expect to hear that in large urban cities. And then he said something that was like so profound. He said, I have watched Chicago rot from the inside out. He said, so coming into Oklahoma City, I just was not expecting to hear that statement. So he said, if there's something I can do to help with that. And then he made the statement, and I jokingly tell people it's like I heard little birds chirping. It was like the skies opened or something. And he said on the phone, I believe youth sports and education is one of the few remaining ways we have to reach at-risk youth for lasting social change. And I said, damn.
Yeah.
Say that again. I said, you just articulated what we have tried to say for 4 years, but we haven't said it like that. So he repeated the statement word for word.
Tim, you should remember that the next time you're struggling.
I'm definitely going to have to.
So when he came back later with his decision to offer the match grant and then fund a content initiative, it was to advocate for this idea that sports changes community and that sports can change life and that it's one of the few remaining ways we have to reach at-risk youth. So Power of Sports is a monthly TV show we're involved in, but Fields and Futures gets a 2-minute segment in every show, so they're stacking up in a collection called A Field to Call Home.
Which I've watched a couple of them and they're amazing. I was just in awe of them. I'm like, oh my gosh. JP, watch this. I actually talked about it as soon as I saw it. I think it was a Houston episode that I watched. Mm. It was wonderful. The Star Spencer video was on there as well.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to put links to all of this.
Yes. We'd love for people to watch those because that's real. So this young girl, Brianna, her story's there. So she was at Taft Middle School. And I wish I knew her whole backstory better, but I don't want to try to tell a story. I don't really know. I just know the headlines weren't good and just a lot of issues and family dynamics and just a lot of things were going on in her life. And again, there's this kind of recurring theme of anger management, right? It's kids just don't know how to process all these emotions.
Right.
But
it's almost like they're young. Need some guidance.
I know. Yeah. What a concept, right? So Brianna at Taft Middle School, and they talk about this in the video, she was known as a fighter. So she just as soon look at you as knock you out. So
sometimes that's easier than dealing with it mentally, emotionally.
That was her mechanism.
Yeah.
So she says in the video, I was known as a fighter. So she made it over to Northwest Classen High School across the street. I'm assuming she played softball at Taft. I'm not sure. But she knew she wanted to play for Coach George at Northwest Classen. So she talked to Coach Cindy George about playing there. Cindy did her homework, and in the video she kind of chuckles and says, yeah, I was talking to the office and we pulled up Brianna's rap sheet from Taft and it was like 3 pages long. And whoever in the office that she was talking to basically said, are you sure, you know, you want to take this kid on? And Cindy's like, I don't care about any of that. So then you hear Brianna in her own words in this video, and it's so crazy how simple it really is for a kid. She said, yeah, she just looked at me and said, but I'm not having any of that. And she said, okay. And she just stopped. So she moved into Northwest Classen High School, knowing a coach cared enough to forgive whatever past transgressions, give her a clean slate, and just said, I'm not having it. Okay. So I'm going to say she might be graduating this year. Zero disciplinary issues. In the video, it talks about a 3.9 GPA, homecoming queen, and student council. And she's the kid on the softball team who's mentoring the younger girls coming in. And she says in her own words, I'm just telling them, don't do what I did. Basically, like, I made mistakes, don't make those.
That's how it should be.
And then there's this whole backstory.
It's amazing when a coach does it. It's even better when a fellow student says that. Absolutely.
Yes, yeah. So you can see Brianna being a leader on this team and applying her life lessons to these freshmen, sophomore, you know, whoever these young girls are. But there's another video of Coach George, and it's kind of hard to piece it all together, but I'll just tell you, so now it'll make more sense when you watch the one about Coach George. Brianna's sister was older than Brianna. Older sister. She wasn't as lucky as Brianna through the high school years. I want to say she dropped out maybe. So she somehow ended up getting her GED, I think. She finished her education. I don't know the whole story arc. All I know is she is now an assistant coach for Cindy George.
Uh-huh.
So she's an assistant coach. Here's her sister going on to do amazing things in life. And here's Coach George, right in the middle of it. And it's like you can just see her hugging both those girls in your mind, going, I got this. And
we do on Mondays, we do positive news stories. You just need to come on once a week.
I'll be your field reporter. Yeah, let me tell you about a kid we met today. So they go on and on and on.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
That is the thing about sports, though, is you learn discipline. You have to. You learn hard work. Okay, if you screw up in sports, it's kind of like, well, you just don't play.
Right.
Or you get kicked out or something like this. And when you're part of that team, that unit, you're all working together towards something larger than yourselves.
Exactly.
It means so much. So it's why behaviors change.
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to be able to play in this game unless I do X, Y, and Z.
Yes.
Okay, I'll do X, yes. Y, and Z because I worked so hard to get here. I'm not going to let X, Y, and Z stop me.
Exactly. That's why I think Field of the Future is so amazing. I mean, you hear the positive story, you hear that. They get to see this, like, on a daily basis, basically, with all the schools they get to work with. And then on top of that, it's never going to end.
Living vicariously through you, people like you. Can I tell you a couple things really quick? Because as you were talking, just some things fired. And you can talk
That's
about the character program, too.
Okay,
so,
sure.
Several years ago, as we were getting to know Keith, the athletic director, and he's talking about rebuilding culture. And there was a lot of coaching turnover. So the year that Salt started, I think it was 35%. Well, nobody can run an effective business with 35% turnover. So he was making a conscious effort to provide better resources, more professional development. Coaches were telling us what they needed. Somewhere in that conversation with Keith, he made the comment that he wanted to rebuild his culture on a very strong pillar of character, which makes perfect sense. So we were able to connect him with Dr. Nathan Meller at Strata Leadership, and they created a product called Elevate, which is a character recognition program that the Wes Walker Foundation then funded for Oklahoma City Public Schools to make it available to every coach for every sport in middle school and high school. But here's the beauty of it. The program is designed to catch kids doing it right. So it's not a coach saying you didn't do something. It's a coach saying that was amazing. So there's a character focus each week or however the coach decides to implement the program, but they'll focus on a character trait and then look for demonstration of the trait. And then at the end of a week or a period of time, they'll do what they do. They teach, they coach, they teach life lessons. And so they'll talk about that character trait and then they'll pull a kid up in front of his or her peers and say they did the best job demonstrating determination.
Virtue, sacrifice.
And you know what? They don't have to be the best athlete on the team.
True story.
They can be the manager who never puts on a uniform. They can be the kid that's never going to see a minute of play, but they have a heart for life and their teammates and their coach, and they're just there. And it's a way to recognize children for who they are and not how they play. So that's 4 years in now.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. I love how we at first it was kind of rough looking at other different programs using it, but the way that we use it, Monday, we'll talk about the word. Don't talk about it all for the rest of the week. On Friday, we're bringing this word back up. Myself and the coaches will talk right before we have this meeting with the team, bring the word back up. Point out one guy, one girl, take some pictures. They get this cool little gold medal too as well. That's all they
care
about.
Why have you not told me about this?
We need to give you a C3 award. I'll bring you one next time.
You definitely need a C3 award in your life for sure.
Yeah.
No, but it's amazing, man. The kids love it. They actually get shirts now too as well. So
nice.
They don't even know about that, but they'll find out. It's all good.
So isn't that awesome that
these
kids are being recognized for who they are here? And that I just think, just acknowledging these children and saying, we want to help you. You deserve it. It's not a pity party. It's a fair party. And everybody should have this opportunity. And here are some potential benefits for you if you'll make the commitment and the sacrifice and show the discipline and make your own commitment. And, you know, it's a two-way street.
So what are some of the words you've used? Just out of curiosity.
Accountability, determination, patience, humility.
Kindness. Alertness.
I think we're about 3 seasons in now of doing it. We've used the same season once, like back to back.
And then when you have a multi-sport athlete, they're hearing it from the next coach, mm-hmm. who might teach the lesson in a slightly different way, but by the time they get through that school year, they could have had that same character trait as a lesson one time, four times. It depends on how many different sports they're playing. So that's a pretty special thing, too.
So much positivity coming out of Oklahoma City Public School Athletics right now.
It's fun.
I was about to do the exact same thing, so it's okay.
Okay. You do it, too.
Well, before we get out of here, okay. I'd love to ask people what their favorite quote is.
Oh, gosh.
You know you dropped like 14 of them.
I know. I'm like,
I'm going to share one with you that won't feel directly connected to this, but in a way it is.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I don't know who to attribute the quote to.
Our wives.
Okay. But I share this all the time with people. The secret is to listen with the intent to understand. Too often, I listen with the intent to respond. Big difference. So teaching people to ask meaningful questions because they really want to hear the answer and understand it before they just start talking about themselves. I think we could relate that to these kids. Tell me your story, but don't ask that question if I don't really want to hear your answer. And if I really want to hear that answer, I'm going to listen because I want to understand, not because I want to tell you something. So it's just my favorite quote, but I could probably apply it anywhere to anything.
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like I've heard JP say that, you know, about 10 times or so since we've been doing this.
Really?
As well. Yeah. So I love it. I'm loving it for
good.
Sure.
Well, this is fun. Thank you.
We had a good time having you. Thank you for coming on. We appreciate it.
Thanks for letting us tell the story.
Well, if you have any more positive stories, you just want to come in and just start talking about them, we're here.
Okay. I'll just we'll call listen. You up. Okay.
We'll listen to understand any time.
Okay. Nice. Well, thank you guys.
Appreciate it.
We'll be back on Monday with more positive news. We're out.
Stay positive.